Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, all things MSU and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. A production of the Daily Journal. We've got some other podcasts for you to check out, too. Be sure to watch for the memo with Derek Russell and somebody. You know, we talked about this, Logan. Got a little bit of change going on at the Journal right now. Probably not Brad Locke anymore, but all things Northeast Mississippi coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And look for Prep Rally as well. High school football is in full swing now, and Dalton Middleton will have you that podcast each week. Logan, how are you, man?
Parrish, it's a great day, and it is a great day because as of about 7:30 last night, I have a roster, and for those of you just listening to audio, you can't see me holding up the roster, but I have a front and back roster, and it's very rare that, you know, 10 days before kickoff, you get a roster, those usually come out, you know, back in the spring and summer, but for whatever reason, we're just now getting one, so it's great to have that in hand, and I actually have updated heights and weights and numbers on players. So I actually know who's on the team this year.
Well, what's been the delay on the roster? Why has that been a slow process?
Well, we asked Dan Mullen about that last week, and he said that there were so many players that wanted to change numbers and griping amongst teammates trying to get numbers and family getting involved wanting numbers. And he just said it was just a huge headache, and he wanted to try to avoid all of that.
Well, that's interesting. Ole Miss, I haven't heard that problem with the roster. It's been on the online for a long time, but they have so many double numbers at Ole Miss. They like double numbers now. You got, two fives. You got a bunch of double numbers. You got lots of tens. Two tens running around. They've got quite a few double numbers. Do you see that much with the Bulldogs?
There are some double numbers. Obviously, they can't be on the field at the same time. And a lot of those double numbers are walk-ons too. But, remember a couple of years ago in the Egg Bowl, Robert Kimdiki had the issue with the double number because they switched him over and played offense. And he was wearing number five. And there was a running back that also wore number five, right?
Right.
So he had numbers to 99 during that game.
Well, Ole Miss has some double numbers with some key positions like number five on offense is DeMarcus Lodge at wide receiver. He'll play quite a bit, and so will number five on defense, who is defensive back Kendarius Webster. He'll play quite a bit after a one-game suspension against South Alabama in the season opener. Dietrich Bing Dukes at linebacker will also serve that suspension. That goes back to their arrest at the beginning of camp. Let's move on into it. Logan, we're getting closer to kickoff. There'll actually be some college football on TV this weekend with a couple of games. Number 19, South Florida, is in action. They've got a pretty good quarterback and some high expectations there under Charlie Strong. So, hey, you don't have to wait much longer for game action, but the first full weekend will be September the 2nd. The Rebels at home against South Alabama. State's at home with – who is it, Logan? It's Charleston
Southern. That's correct.
Okay, so both teams at home. Let's start with the Rebels. I'm watching this team, Logan, as much as I can. We talked about that, but I do see them a little bit more than you do. We've talked a lot about the importance for Ole Miss at the line of scrimmage. Just call it there, because they need to be an improved running team. They certainly need to be a team that stops the run better. And it's just, honestly, it's hard to tell what kind of improvement they've made from that in camp. It's hard to tell when you're going against your teammates and you don't tackle to the ground most of the time. There are some periods when they do that. We don't see those periods. So to tell you, how much better they are in that regard is hard to do. I can say that Jordan Wilkins needs to stay healthy for this team at running back for Ole Miss. He looks the part right now, very strong and physical. He had the knee issue earlier in camp, has come back from that. They're not taking a different approach with Jordan right now. They're not holding him out. They still want him to get the speed of the game. So it's more about preparation than protection for Jordan Wilkins right now. And behind him, we just haven't seen anyone, I think, really jump up as a standout in camp. I think Devon Penniman, the sophomore, is going to be that number two running back. And, of course, you got to have a lot of backs ready to go. The guy people have had an eye on in camp has been Eric Swinney. A year ago, before Swinney tore up his knee against Florida State in the season opener on his first college carry when he was a redshirt freshman, he had had a great spring, a great camp. He was really running tough on the inside. A lot of power, a lot of strength in there, making people miss, winning the collision. Eric Swinney was doing all those things last year. Now he's coming back from the ACL. He's also dealt with a concussion in camp. He hasn't quite looked like the same back. They're hoping he'll get back to that level. So they're going to rely a lot on Devon Penniman as the number two running back. And don't forget about Eugene Brasley. He was kind of number two by default last year behind Akeem Judd. He brings something to the table that none of the other backs do, in that he's that scat back, that small and quick guy. And I really think that a creative mind like Phil Longo will find a way, or will certainly try to find a way, to get a guy like Eugene Brasley in space. When he can do that, he's very dangerous. Ole Miss fans remember him in the first half of 2015, a couple of those home games when the Rebels were putting up a lot of points, and Brasley had several runs where he just got into space a little bit and made somebody miss and turned a short run into a 60 or 70-yard touchdown. So you've seen that big play ability from him. I think Phil Longo will try to utilize him in some way in this offense. We'll see. But to sit here and say right now that this is going to be a dynamic run game, I still think this has the potential to be a very explosive offense, but so much of that is going to rely on Shea Patterson at quarterback and the abundance of talent at wide receiver. I think there are some interesting parts and pieces to this run game. I think they can be pretty good. They still need to see some development with the down the depth chart guys, and they need Jordan Wilkins to certainly stay healthy if they're going to be an improved run team, stopping the run for Ole Miss. You know, they've got three guys in the middle who are going to be a big part of that. Benito Jones, who has missed some camp with a concussion, he's back now. They are being careful with Benito, kind of holding him out of some contact. They'll ease him back into that. You saw what he could do last year as a freshman. Really was Rebels' best defensive lineman, I thought, best interior lineman at the end of the 2016 season. After Benito on the interior, they're going to rotate two other guys in there. There's Breland Speaks, who had a disappointing sophomore season. They're hoping Breland's going to bounce back. He had a good spring. He's had just an okay camp. A lot of hype about Breland Speaks coming out of spring, as you remember. He was even a guy that Hugh Freeze sent to media days in Birmingham. You don't usually send second-team players over there, but that's where Speaks spent a lot of this camp, with the rise of Josiah Coatney, a junior college transfer who redshirted last season. For much of camp, the starters there on the interior defensive line were Benito Jones and Josiah Coatney. So basically, it's three guys on the interior that they're going to count on a lot. One of them, as I said, is trying to bounce back from a disappointing year. Another has never played at this level. So that's kind of sketchy right there. I think they're going to be pretty good on the defensive ends with Marquise Haynes coming back. Look for Haynes in the first half of the year at some point to set two Ole Miss career records, sacks and tackles for loss. He's very near the top in both of those categories. So I think that'll happen, sometime in the first half of the year. He's solid on one end. On the other end, Kadir Shepherd, the Syracuse transfer, and Victor Evans, now a junior in the program, have both played well in camp. They feel really good about the other end as well. So a lot of promise along this defensive line. If they can get the play on the interior that they need, then these guys can fill gaps. They can make plays, but more importantly, they can keep offensive linemen off of the linebackers a little bit. And that's going to be a big deal with a redshirt freshman starting at one of those linebackers in Dante Evans. Logan, just tell us a little bit about, look, I know you don't see the Bulldogs in practice as much, but as we mentioned, when you're covering a camp like that, the most important words are, he said, and Dan Mullen did come out and fill you all in a little bit yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, he said a lot of little things last night. We talked to Dan Mullen about once a week during camp, and he actually talked about injuries last night, and that's kind of rare for him. You never know when he's going to talk about injuries. Sometimes he doesn't, sometimes he does. But he did inform us that Malik Beer, the wide receiver who tore his ACL in the spring, he's probably going to be out for the first two games, at least. He didn't expect him to play in the first couple of games. So they still haven't made a decision on him for the year. They did say he's ahead of schedule on his rehab. So there's a possibility he could play this year. And obviously, losing Fred Ross to graduation last year is huge. Donald Gray and Malik Deer are really their only two proven wide receivers. You could maybe throw Gabe Miles into that mix as well, but Miles has had a disappointing year last year as a junior. He's trying to have the bounce back type of year as a senior. But, Malik Deer, gives them that kind of different, he played in the slot so much. He's like a little bowling ball. He's kind of built about like Josh Robinson was all those years ago, kind of short, stocky, tree trunk type of legs. He's hard to bring down in the open field. And they really just don't have another player like that on the roster right now at the wide receiver spot. A couple of other guys, Landon Guidry, he's a true freshman safety that they signed this past year. He's going to be out 6 to 8 months, that he tweeted. He tore his ACL, and Dan Mullen did confirm that last night. So Landon Guidry will not play this season. He'll sit out, probably maybe be back for the spring, maybe not, maybe do some limited stuff in the spring, but he mentioned, Dan Mullen said that he's probably headed for a red shirt anyway. Harry Parker, who's a walk-on freshman offensive lineman, Dan Mullen said that he had an infection in his elbow and spent a couple of days in the hospital. So Harry Parker is probably going to red shirt as well. Asked Dan Mullen about red shirts, had he made any decisions in that regard? And he said he just hasn't yet. He not decided who's going to red shirt, who's going to play. A guy that does play into that mix is Keaton Thompson. The second, the true freshman quarterback probably goes into the season as the number two guy. Dan Mullen hadn't decided whether he wants to, he's going to redshirt him or not. I think he would like to, but at the same time, he's your only other scholarship quarterback behind Nick Fitzgerald. So it's a possibility that, Keaton Thompson could go out there as a true freshman. He did talk about, that four-game rule that we've heard talked about so much, about guys being able to play in four games or less and still being able to redshirt, how much that would come into play for Mississippi State if that rule was in effect this season, because he would definitely get Keaton Thompson some experience out there in that situation. But right now, if he plays one play, that redshirt's burned, so he's going to still try to decide if he's going to do that or not. A couple of other things. Jonathan Abram, who we've kind of heard some rumors online that he had an issue with his knee. Dan Mullen says he's fine. So, still up, I don't know. Sometimes I believe Dan, sometimes I don't, when it comes to injury. So we'll have to see if Jonathan Abram takes the field against Charleston Southern. Obviously, that's a guy that they're counting on back there at safety, the junior college transfer. Todd Grantham talked about Jonathan Abram being one of the leaders on the defense, and we've heard some great things about him in the secondary. Obviously, he played as a true freshman at Georgia, so he's got some experience back there and is pushing for playing time. He's going to see the field quite a bit when and if he is healthy. Chauncey Rivers, another JUCO transfer. We've heard some things that, they've already lost Brian Cole because of the academically ineligible transferring in from EMCC this past year. That's already proven. Chauncey Rivers is another guy who transferred in from EMCC. They've got a waiver out right now to the NCAA trying to see if he can, if they'll approve him to play this year. Obviously, it's the same situation where he took a ton of hours trying to get eligible in one semester at EMCC. And you just got to kind of see what they say at this point. I asked him about that last night. He had no update on Chauncey Rivers' situation. But that's a defensive end that they're really high on. But that's not a position where, they've just got – the cupboard's not bare at defensive end. So if Chauncey Rivers is ruled academically ineligible and will have to redshirt this season. They've got some other guys that they can kind of fill in there. It's going to be a game time decision on kicker. They've got four guys trying out for the kicker position: Jordan Lawless, Dan Mills, Jace Christman, Tucker Day. It's really close in that regard, but Dan Mullins saw a lot of improvement from those guys. Most of those guys weren't there in the spring. I think Jace Christman was the only guy that was there during the spring, and those other guys have come in fall camp and really made this a competition. And it may be a decision where whoever does the best in pregame warmups is Mississippi State's kicker this year. But you know, it's been a position that's really been maligned at Mississippi State the last few years. You know, he's relied so much on walk-on guys, and all of those guys are walk-ons with the exception of Tucker Day. Tucker Day, he was an All-American punter, and he's going to have to come in and place kick his first year. It's something he did some in high school. So, you know, he's going to be the Mississippi State's future punter, but right now he's handling the place kicking duties or competing at that spot. So we'll have to see if he wins that job. Dan Mullen did give him the edge last week when we talked to him, that he had a little bit of an upper hand on those other three guys. But right now it's a really close neck-and-neck race, and we'll have to see who wins that come next Saturday.
Well, Logan, where does this defense under Todd Grantham need to get better this season? I mean, when I look at Ole Miss last year, it was so painfully obvious that this team couldn't stop the run. And it didn't start out that way. You know, they actually had a fair game against Dalvin Cook in Florida State in the opener. I think he ended up with 90-some-odd yards, maybe a little bit over 100. But for 2.5 quarters, they were pretty good against Dalvin Cook. And then as the game wore on and Florida State started making plays in the passing game and, you know, players were stretched out a little bit, Cook got his yards. But, you know, as the season went on and the losses mounted, this was a team that really struggled against the run and sometimes embarrassingly so. I went back and looked, and I want to say there were like five SEC players who were SEC Player of the Week on offense after having played Ole Miss. Three of those in consecutive weeks with Raleigh Williams from Arkansas, Leonard Fournette at LSU, and then Cameron Petway at Auburn. You know, so it's clear that Ole Miss has to make strides in stopping the run. You know, is anything that clear for how State needs to improve, or is it just across the board? Where do they need to get better?
They need to get better across the board and run. They do need to be better against the run, but it was the pass that really, really hurt Mississippi State last year. Obviously, they went into the year with Talando Cleveland and Cedric Giles, their two starting cornerbacks. Talando Cleveland missed the entire season. Cedric Giles missed half the season with a broken arm. You know, those guys, you know, you go into the season and you're using your third and fourth string cornerbacks to your third and fourth cornerbacks to be your starters. So they went into the season behind the eight ball, and it just didn't get any better. They transitioned Jamal Peters from safety to cornerback during early part of last year. And, of course, there was some acclimation for him. He made some plays last year, but he was obviously very new to the position. He's had some time there now. They expect some big things of Jamal Peters at corner. Obviously, he's a 6'2", 6'3 guy, you know, very athletic, got some size to him, so he can match up with some of those taller receivers around the league. Talando Cleveland is back this year, and he brings all that experience along with him. You know, he was played a pretty big part in that 2014 defense. So he's been on this team. He's one of the few players on this team that actually played significant snaps back when Mississippi State was number one. So just having that leadership back at that position for a very young defense. But, yeah, they need to get better across the board with Todd Grantham's defense. You know, last year with Peter Sermon, I think the scheme was just bad. It was their first year switching to a 3-4, and they were just out of position so much during the year. You know, they've got some talent. They've got some good athletes on that side of the ball, and you just looked and see how easily teams were moving up and down the field against them. And a lot of times there was nobody on Mississippi State's personnel that was even anywhere around the ball. I mean, guys were – you know, wide open, and there was nobody even close to making a tackle And then they missed a lot of tackles when they had chances in the open field. So, you know, there's a lot of areas that they need to improve on. They need to get better at rushing the passer. They were terrible at that last year. Shouldn't get any pressure on the quarterback. They weren't good against the run. They weren't good against the pass. Defense was just awful last year. It really was. And it put the offense behind the eight ball, trying to, you know, outscore people. And sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But they got into some shootouts. And then sometimes when the team had a pretty good defense that they were playing, their offense just couldn't score enough to keep up. So, yeah, Mississippi State's got to be better on that side of the ball. I think they'll make a step forward in that regard. Todd Grantham is known for being good against the run and disrupting the passer. And that's kind of the mentality he's brought to this defense. They will play a 3-4 again. It's a little bit different scheme of a 3-4 than what they played last year. And I think a lot of these guys that got some experience and up under their belt last year are back on defense. And they're going to be better on that side of the ball. How much better will determine how well Mississippi State is this season.
Well, Ole Miss also had those alignment problems last year. You know, you often hear coaches in the first week or two of the season, early part of the season, talk about, well, we've got to fit the gaps. We've got to fit the run. We've got to do better with our run fits. Well, we were still hearing about that in November last year. So the Rebels were out of position a lot. If Freddie Roach, the defensive line coach, can help them play those gaps better, play those responsibilities better, as players say they are doing in spring. Again, he said, you know, that'll be a big beginning toward improvement. So we'll see. They also had assignment bust in the secondary. And one position that they really are not very high on right now, not locked in on, is free safety. Wesley McGriff, the defensive coordinator, likes what he's getting from Zedrick Woods, a returning starter at strong safety. And he told us several weeks ago that free safety was probably going to have to be by committee. We've seen them tinker with that position a lot during camp. Most often it has been C.J. Moore as the starter, a redshirt junior, and behind him, senior C.J. Hampton. Neither of those guys have really just grabbed the position. Early in camp, we saw Ken Webster, a career cornerback, remember coming back from the ACL surgery. They started him at safety, okay, used him in that rotation at the beginning. More recently, we've seen them move Webster back to cornerback, and sophomore Jalen Jones has moved over to free safety. So still a lot of mixing and matching going on at that position for Ole Miss, but that's another where they really need to take a step forward, and simply being in the right place would be a big step. What I'm most often asked about this team right now, Logan, is morale. Everybody wants to talk about the NCAA investigation. How is that affecting Ole Miss? The bigger news more recently, the upheaval at head coach with the forced resignation of Hugh Freeze and Matt Luke coming on as interim coach. Well, all I can tell you on morale is that it looks the same to me. You see players running around at a good pace in practice when we're there. It looks like a regular practice. They get excited. They, you know, when they do something good, they've had a few little fights at the beginning of camp. And it seemed to me, Logan, like when they had those this year, almost like the staff let them go a little bit longer before breaking them up. You know, just wanted to maybe stoke the fires a little bit. But as far as how the players are responding in practice, you know, it looks the same. But here's the thing, you know, the morale question at the beginning of August and the morale question at the end are going to be different because so much happens in camp. Jobs are won and lost. Roles are defined. You know, things that affect the morale of any individual, those things occur during camp. And again, I haven't seen anything that suggests to me that morale is unusual or extremely low or anything like that. I see this team going through what appears to be a regular camp in the periods that we are there. We're allowed inside practice about twice a week. And when we are, we're there for 8 to 10 periods. A practice typically is going to run anywhere from 18 to 23 periods. So, you know, there are a lot of things they don't want us to see. And so I figure the most coaching and practicing is getting done when we're not there. But as far as morale, I just think that's going to be an ongoing question throughout the season. It'll be really good if they get a win against South Alabama in the opener and if they start 2-0 and go to Cal and play well. But if they lose one or two of those early games, then they come back and they're looking at road trips to Alabama and Auburn. If the losses begin to mount, that's when morale is going to be a problem. And you're going to have people who are going to get into the ears of those highly recruited players, those 4 and 5 stars, and tell them that they need to transfer. I'm sure that's already happening. You know, that's going to happen. Players are going to have to deal with that each in their own way. But right now, the morale question, it just looks okay. And that's something that each player is going to have to deal with individually. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, and Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs. And Logan and I will be back here with you next week for another round of Double Coverage.